Welcome to Audio Articles. I'm Chris, the editor of the Articles Ministry at Crossroads Church. On our site, we have hundreds of articles answering the biggest questions of faith and offering biblical wisdom for the unique life situations that we all find ourselves in. But sometimes reading isn't super fun, so we created this weekly podcast to give your eyes a break and have the author of each article read their work to you. However you're tuning in, we thank you for joining and hope you enjoyed today's reading. Let's go. Spider-Man Needs Friends. So Do You, by Chris Pennington. Spider-Man needs friends. So did Jesus, so do I, and so do you. If you're looking for a brand new day, friendship will be the ticket to seeing your life change for the better. Spider-Man Brand New Day is shattering ticket sales records on its way to the biggest domestic opening in film history. It's obvious, moviegoers still love them some Spider-Man, even if everything in Peter Parker's world is going off the rails. The last time we saw Spidey in his own movie, it was 2021's No Way Home, where some multiverse shenanigans involving Doctor Strange resulted in Peter's secret identity being broadcast to the whole world. So to save his anonymity and to protect the people he loves, Peter asked Doctor Strange to cast a spell making everyone forget Peter Parker, including his best friend Ned and his girlfriend MJ. Okay, nerd explanation is over. So as the new movie opens, Peter Parker is alone, in a world that doesn't know who he is. Sound familiar? It's not far off of how many of us feel today. We're more digitally connected than ever, but personal connection, like knowing other people and being known by them, is in the gutter. Rates of loneliness are at an all-time high, mental health issues are skyrocketing, and anxiety's rampant. I'm no stranger to any of those feelings. My counselor agrees, and not just because I pay him, I think. We can't do this alone. In fact, we shouldn't even try. In a scene near the end of Brand New Day, Peter says something powerful that stopped me in my tracks. He's talking to a superhero he spent half the movie chasing, but will remain nameless in this because nobody likes spoilers. In the scene, Peter says this: "Just because we've lost someone, it doesn't mean we have to do this alone. I mean, we can't. Trust me. I've been trying. It doesn't work." The other character says, "Even if that's true, I have no one." Peter says, "You have me." It hits me in my feels even now. You get weepy at movies when you become a dad, I think. Turns out, the God of the universe agrees with Spider-Man. He was actually the first to say all this. Way back on page 1 of the Bible, we find God on a making spree. He's creating the entire universe. He brings to life the sea, land, sky, stars, animals, nature, and he calls it all good. Then God creates something that causes him, for the first time in existence, to say, "Not good." He makes a man, and then says it is not good for man to be alone. The only thing in all of creation that didn't meet his standards was loneliness. You probably know the story, and maybe you've even heard it at a wedding before. In response to this isolation, God creates a woman, bringing the two humans together and establishing the first family. But I actually don't believe the text is teaching that marriage is the one-and-done solution to loneliness, mostly because some of the most important heroes of the faith never married. For starters, there's Jesus, who spent his entire life single. God commanded the prophet Jeremiah to not marry. We don't see records of any people like Daniel, John the Baptist, or Elijah ever tying the knot either. Paul, an early missionary and church planner, writes about singleness with such strength that it almost makes you question whether someone broke his heart. Marriage is not a prerequisite for a good life, but friendship might be. Jesus spent much of his life surrounded by friends, from the disciples to siblings to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Jeremiah's life was saved multiple times by friends who were looking out for him. Daniel stood strong in the face of a hostile empire alongside friends. John the Baptist pointed all of his friends toward Jesus, and Elijah invested all his spiritual wisdom into a mentee, Elisha. Our lives get better when people are included. It's a truth that's littered throughout Scripture. Living life with other people is part of how we experience grace and love, receive wisdom and counsel, and are built up and encouraged. And science is catching up to what God said first. Studies have linked having strong friendships to a 50% chance of living longer, decreased blood pressure and cortisol stress levels, and a decreased risk of depression and mental health issues. One study even found that people described hills as less steep when they were walking them with friends. Life is a team sport. We were not designed to do it alone. Whether it's friendship, marriage, or a combination of the two, God clearly says from the beginning that life on our own is not good. It's a truth I avoided for years, believing lie after lie as to why my life was better alone, or that I could manage it independent of anyone else. I had thoughts like, no one really wants to know me anyway. I can't show anyone my weakness or failures, or they will judge or leave me. It's just easier this way. And that's not to say I didn't try. I did. And if, like me, you faced rejection, condemnation, or dislike from people you hope to call friends, the lies push you to isolation can be even more powerful. And the isolation lies are insidious because they're half true. In many ways, it is easier to go about life alone. I mean, no one around me to tell me something I don't want to hear, no one to call me on my BS, no one to have to be truly vulnerable with, showing parts of myself I'd rather keep hidden. Sign me up for a solo ticket, please. I mean, life alone started easier, but the longer I stayed disconnected from others, the darker everything became, my mood, attitude, and outlook. Loneliness was strangely comforting because it was predictable. It couldn't let me down or hurt me, but it also didn't lift me up or add anything positive to my days. And the predictability was incredibly predictable. Life alone was pretty freaking boring. Isolation may have saved me from having to test the waters of being known and seen and showing all my warts, failures, and insecurities, but life got very stale and very empty very fast. This coming from a lifelong introvert who loves his quality time by himself, and still does. The truth of the matter is this, though, that while breaks from people are nice, they make for horrible lifestyles. I knew God wasn't about me having a predictable, comfortable, safe life, where I never get hurt or never take relational risks. He made me to be known by Him and others, and to engage deeply in community and relationships. Even the fact that He exists as the Trinity, which is just a fancy word for His identity being the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all at once, proves that God values relationships. God Himself is a friendship. Insert mind blown emoji right here. So realizing I had nowhere else to go, and with my isolated life becoming a drag of endless repeating days, I finally decided to put God to the test. I'd had friendships in the past, but they'd either grown distant or become completely surface level. Turns out talking about fantasy football and literally nothing else at all doesn't do it for you. So I made the first moves. I asked coworkers to grab some coffee or food. I texted friends from high school and college I'd lost contact with. I chose to take conversations deeper places. I tried out some groups and special events at my church. I asked an older guy I admire to mentor me. I practiced sharing more vulnerable parts of my life with those I was growing closer to. And a crazy thing happened. The more I pressed into other people, watching sports, going to Marvel movies, grabbing drinks, playing Xbox, I noticed drastic improvements and greater connection and joy, not only in my relationships with people, but with God as well. Now that's not to say it's all been easy. As I've gotten older and more priorities are introduced, it's been easy to let my busyness get in the way of making time for friends. I've also been hurt by friends when they hadn't shown up when I needed them to, or seemed to not make me a priority. And hard as it is to say this, I've been that bad friend too at times. But that doesn't mean it's not worth pressing in all the more. Just by putting in intentional effort, I've seen so many of my friendships grow to incredible heights. Like Spider-Man before me, I had to hit an isolated rock bottom to realize just how important other people are. And in the words of Miles Morales, maybe my actual favorite web-slinging hero, when I feel alone, like no one understands what I'm going through, I remember my friends who get it. So if you're living in a world where you feel alone, like everyone else has forgotten you exist, even the smallest movement toward connection can bring unprecedented results. I've been there, I know. So make the call, send the text, ask to grab lunch, buy the movie tickets. Isolation begins to die when we make the first move. And if all else fails, you can just tell them Spider-Man sent you. No one will argue with that. Thanks for listening to this episode of Audio Articles. Find all of our written and audio articles at crossroads.net/articles or click the link in this episode's description. Make sure to subscribe so you get the alert right away when the next episode comes out. We will see you next time.